Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Can you say it a little louder?
Good morning.
Good morning. How's the morning? You like it? That's good. If it's a good morning, I want to hear you say good morning like it's good. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
That's good. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. Well, this morning my dad, he came into my bedroom at around 5:30. He woke me up. He was like, "Would you like to do something for me?" And I was like, "I'm sleeping." But he asked me if I would share with you children this morning, so I want to do that today. I want to talk to you guys about Africa. You know, I was in Africa for a while, don't you? I want to talk to you about the children in Africa and how they, what they do over there, and some of the children that stood out to me. I was there for about 4 months, and I got to know some of the children pretty good. So first of all, which way do you think Africa is from here? Somebody want to guess? Huh? Which way? Is it that direction, this direction? Which way is Africa? You think it's that way? Everybody think it's that direction? It's that way. If you drove east, you come to a big, huge water called the ocean. And from there, you just go straight across the ocean, and you come to Africa. That's where I was. And in Africa, it's a very beautiful place, but if you go up north, it's like close to the desert. You know what a desert is? Everybody know what a desert is? It's really dry and lots of sand. And where I was, they only had two seasons. You know what a season is? Somebody want to tell me what a season is? That's right. How many seasons do we have here in Pennsylvania? How many? Four. That's right. We have winter, then we have spring, then we have summer, and then we have fall. In Africa, we had two seasons. There was a dry season and a wet season. And so in the dry season, it was very dry. It wouldn't rain for maybe sometimes 4 months. That's a long time without rain, isn't it? What would happen to the grass if it wouldn't rain for 4 months? What do you think, Joseph? What would happen to it? Yeah, it would become brown. So when I was there, it was dry season. Everything was brown. The trees didn't have hardly any leaves. There are some trees that did, but everything was really brown. And so it made life hard for them because the food doesn't grow during the dry season. And water is very scarce. You know, they have to go far for water. And so all these little children that I've seen every day, they work very hard. They take buckets, 5 gallon buckets that they might weigh when they have water in maybe 50 or 60 pounds, and they'll put these buckets on their head. And they'll go and walk for maybe 5 miles, sometimes 1 mile. Depends how far they have to go for water. And they'll just be maybe Zachary size here. But it's the girls that'll do this. And they'll go walking far for water. That's some of the things the children would do. The boys, they would go hunting because they like to eat meat. And they don't get meat very often. So they'd go out into the bush. It would be like just, you know, a bunch of trees and stuff. And they'd go out there and they'd hunt. They'd have sticks and stuff and they'd dig up the holes where the animals go in. When the animals would run out, they'd throw their sticks at them. And that's how they'd kill them. Then they also had slingshots. You know what a slingshot is? They put a stone in there, and one day where I was living, there was a bunch of bats up in the tree. You know what a bat is? These things that fly around in the night. They're sort of scary looking. Anyhow, there was a bunch of bats in the tree. And these guys, they were hungry, so they got their slingshots with their stones, and they were shooting them out of the tree. And they'd build a little fire, and they would roast them, just hold them over the fire, and then they eat them. You think you could do that? They'd eat the whole thing. They only had the hair burned off of it, and they'd eat it. So that's what the children are like over there. And that's what they do. They don't have many toys. You know, all of us, we got toys at our house, right? Does anybody here not have a toy? Raise your hand. You don't have a toy? Where's your dad? No, all of us, we have toys. But over there, they have to make all their toys because they're not rich. If they want to get a toy, they'll take like a tin can and they'll tie something to it and they'll just run along towing this tin can behind them and they think it's like a truck or something. Or maybe they'll cut some wheels out and put it on a stick and they'll be pushing this thing and they'll be making noises. But you know what? They're happy. Because they're content. And you know what? Content is what makes us happy. So I want to tell you about this one little girl. She lived in Gushau. It was a place I'd go to on Sunday. All of us, we come back to Down Rebecca and we go to Dushaw Church. And there's this one boy there that he had polio. Does anybody know what polio is? You do? What is it? That's right. It's a disease that when they get it, it makes them that they can't move their legs, or maybe sometimes it's their arms. And so this boy, he had polio since he was a little boy. He was crippled. And he was about my age, but he was probably about this tall, and just really thin and little. And he had polio. Anyhow, he had two sisters. And his one sister, she didn't even want to know him. She was very embarrassed that he had polio. She thought something was wrong with him, and she was very embarrassed. Do you think that's nice to be embarrassed about your brother? That's not good, is it? Because God made your brother. He can help that he has polio. So anyhow, she would come to church way before he would. And he had this tricycle, big tricycle, and he couldn't use his legs, so he couldn't walk, but he could use his arms. Okay? So they made this tricycle that they had pedals on the arms. You know, the pedals came up on the handlebar, so he could pedal. And his little sister, she was probably maybe about this tall, 10 years old, she would walk with him to church every Sunday morning. While the older girl, she didn't even want to know that that was her brother. She'd walk to church earlier. So this little girl, she'd help push the bicycle, and this guy, he'd be pedaling. And they'd come into church, and she'd wait out there beside church till one of us men would come out and pick her brother up and take him into the church. Then she'd come and sit right down beside him. So I saw this little girl. She was being very nice to her brother. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to bring her some candy. Over there, they don't get candy ever. Hardly ever, unless maybe sometimes just for special they'll get some candy. So I brought her one piece of candy. I had some more in my pocket, but I gave her one. And guess what she did with the candy? Somebody want to tell me? Huh? Yeah. I gave her the candy, and she right away gave it to her brother. Now, isn't that something? She loved her brother more than she loved herself. So she gave her the candy right to her brother, and I was like, wow. So I pulled out another candy, and I gave it to her. But that girl there, every Sunday she would take care of her brother, and she would get the bike ready, and she'd push the bike and help him get started, and off they go. And his other sister, she wouldn't act like she even knew him. So that little girl, she was very nice to him, and I saw something in her that was good. She knew what was right. She was learning to follow God. Now I want to ask you a question. What color is this? Abby? Black. And what color is this? It's white. Now what if I tell you that this is white? What would you say? Would you tell me I'm wrong? And if I would say this is black, you'd say something's the matter with him. But over in Africa, a lot of people, they don't know about God. And their parents will teach them that right is wrong. You know what I mean? Like, they would say, let's say this is wrong. Black means wrong. They would say that it's wrong to go to church. Is that wrong? No, it's not wrong. But they will tell their children that it's wrong to go to church. And so they're telling them that this is white and that this is black. You see what I'm saying? They're saying, it's all right, you can go to the movie. They'll give them 5 cents and they'll go to the movie. And they'll see terrible things. They'll see people stealing. They'll see them killing. They see all that stuff. And they say, that's all right, that's good. And they say, but you know, we know that's not good, right? And they're telling them it's good. And so it's like saying that this is black and this is white. But we know that the good things, our parents teach us that this is black and this is white. I want to talk about a girl named Mary. In Africa, we call her Maria. But her name was Mary. And she lived with her aunt. Her parents didn't want her anymore, or either they were just giving her to her aunt. And anyhow, this was in Nambudugu. We had services there maybe every 2 weeks. And one time as I was sitting there watching the people come, here came this little girl. It was maybe the first time I was there. She was maybe 9 or 10 years old, and she was a little girl. But here she came to the meeting. It was late. We already started singing, and she came there. And when we would sing, we would be clapping, you know, and singing. But she looked sort of sad. And I was wondering, what's the matter with Mary? And so I just sort of watched her that whole evening. And after the service was over, she just stayed there for a long time. But she listened really well in the service. And I was like, I wonder why she's just staying here. All the other girls her age had gone home, but she just stayed there. Then slowly but surely, it was dark out. The only light we had was right there. where we were at, and she just slowly but surely she walked off out into the darkness. The next day, she brought us water. She was carrying a bunch of water on her head. And she didn't have to bring us water. We didn't ask her to bring us water, but she brought us a bunch of water. And that day when she came, we started talking to her and asking her what her home is like. And she told us that she lives with her aunt. Do you think her aunt wanted her to come to church? You don't think so? Remember? They teach them that going to church is wrong. It's wrong to do that, they say. So her aunt told her, you may not go to church. I don't want you to become a Christian. And Mary told the aunt that, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow God's ways. I don't want to do bad things. And so she went to church. And she came to church many times like that. And when she would go home, guess what her aunt would do to her? Anybody want to guess? Yes. When she would get home, she knew that she was going to get beaten. She knew that if she went to the meeting tonight, when she got home, her aunt was going to beat her every night. And she came many nights like that. Her aunt would beat her when she got home. My. See, her aunt was telling her, going to church is wrong. But she knew that it was right. So aren't we glad we have parents that teach us what is right? Because we know we want to come to church. Our parents teach us it's good to come to church. Our parents teach us that it's good to love God, right? But they would say that you shouldn't love God. We need to love Allah. So those children over there, like Mary, she was just young. What if your parents told you not to come to church? What would you do? You wouldn't come, right? We wouldn't want to come to church because our parents would tell us not to. For her, she knew what was right. She knew that what we were teaching her was right. And she wanted to come to church even if everybody around her was telling her it's wrong to come to church. And even if she got a beating when she got home, she would come to church. So I was very happy with her. And I want you to know that God loves the children over there just as much as He loves you. You know, the children, they're far away. You never saw them, did you? But God, He loves His children. He loves them just as much as He loves you. And He wants them to worship Him too. So let's sing the song, Jesus Loves the Little Children. And let's always remember that. That even the children in Africa, they can do what's right too. Okay, let's sing real loud. And how about we clap? Over to Africa, we clap when we sing, okay? So everybody clap with me, okay? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Okay, can you sing louder? Let's sing Jesus Died for All the Children. Really loud, okay? Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Jesus lives for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus lives for all the children of the world. Okay, thank you. You can go back to your parents.
Okay, we had an interesting lesson this morning. Some of the things are somewhat what I was thinking about. How many of you would like to be like Jesus? Let me see your hands. Good. Would you like to be like Jesus in every way? There's a way I'm thinking about, and it's not easy, but we can choose. And after you're converted, you can choose. So we're going to talk about some of the things Jesus did at the end of His life that show His humility, His meekness. Can somebody tell me what humility or meekness is? Nobody knows? Well, we could say it's the opposite of being proud. It's being thinking lowly of yourself. And so, this is Easter, and before Easter, we have Jesus coming to Jerusalem, His what they call his triumphal entry into the city. Now, today we drive cars, but not too long ago people didn't drive cars because there weren't any. So what did kings ride? Kings, you know, how did they travel? Yes. Chariots. Or something else? They did ride chariots. Yes? Carriages? Okay, I'm thinking of an animal. What kind of animal did kings ride? Yes. Horses. Okay, what kind of horse do you think they rode? Yes. Do you have an answer? What kind of horse did kings ride? Army horses? Okay. I'm thinking of they would ride beautiful horses, strong horses, and the horses were sometimes decorated with gold, other metals, and things like that. They were beautiful. And the carriages that they did ride were also big. Some of them were gold, weighed lots, took a lot of horses to pull them. And that's the way kings did. It was a sign of their wealth, of their power. What did Jesus ride? Okay, he's coming into Jerusalem. You know, he had spent a lot of his life in Galilee, but now he's going to Jerusalem in Judea, where Jerusalem was. What did he ride? A donkey. Was Jesus the king? Jesus was the king. He rode a donkey, and that's a sign of his humility, his meekness. He was willing to ride a donkey. And nobody, I don't think, was saying, "My, what a strong donkey. What a beautiful donkey." No, just a little donkey with this Jesus probably almost dragging on the ground. Not up high where everybody could see him. So that was a sign of his humility. Now someday, you're going to be driving cars. What kind of car do you want to drive? One that everybody looks at and says, "Wow, isn't that nice?" All right. What do kings wear? I'm thinking of one thing in particular that kings wear. And they wore different things. Yes. Robes. Right, I'm thinking of something else. Yes. Crowns. What kind of crowns? Yes. Crowns of gold, crowns of metal, crowns of silver, things that were beautiful and expensive and precious. And again, that was a sign of their power, of their wealth. That's what kings wore. That's what some kings and queens still wear today at times, like in a royal procession. What did Jesus wear? What kind of crown did he wear? Yes? A crown of thorns. So again, we see that Jesus was very humble. You know, he had all the power in the world. He had created all things, and so it would have been easy for him to not allow any of this to happen at all. But he wore a crown of thorns. And then it says that they mocked him, and they put on him purple robes, and they did that just for mockery. But they also had a reed. Does anyone remember what they did with the reed? A reed is like a rod. What did they do with the reed? Yes. Okay, but before that, before the sponge, before he was on the cross, okay, it says they put a reed in his right hand. Now kings have like the royal staff, and so they were mocking him, and they gave him this stick to put in his hand with the crown of thorns and the purple robes, and this is all done for mockery. But then in the one account it says they took the reed out of his hand, and what did they do? Yes? Okay, they smote him on the head, on his crown, on the crown of thorns. So again, we see Jesus' humility. Well, sometime you're probably, maybe, depending how soon Jesus comes, you're going to die, and you probably haven't thought of how you'd like to die, but I'll just tell you some of the things that I think about of dying. I would like to die with my friends, not my enemies. With my brothers and sisters near, if anybody's going to be near, that I think that would be a wonderful way. But if we look at Jesus, he was there on the cross. He was bleeding. He was in agony. And who was at the cross? Who was right there at the cross? Yes. His enemies, the soldiers, the scribes, the other people that were mocking him, that said, well, if you really are the Son of God, come down and we'll believe. But they wouldn't have. And it says that there were some friends there. It says there were some women looking on, standing afar off. And it seems that most of the disciples, these men, weren't even around. And so, again, we see that how Jesus died. He was very humble. This is the way God had ordained. So there'd be lots of things we could look at in his life. Well, let's look at his resurrection. Jesus did rise, and if we die someday, we'll rise also. But men just tend to be proud. Even after men are converted, they still tend to be proud. And if it was up to man to decide how Jesus is going to be resurrected, it probably would have went something like this, that he's going to have Pilate there and the scribes and the Pharisees there. They're the ones that actually put him to death and condemned him. He's going to have them there and probably the disciples there so they can be a witness of his actual resurrection. And he might send some angels with trumpets and make an announcement, and then they'll roll the stone away and they'll see Jesus come out. And that would be a very impressive, and that's probably how men would do it. But how did Jesus rise? Who saw him rise? Did anybody see him rise? Did anybody actually see Jesus come out of the tomb? Not at all. They rolled the stone away so they could see the tomb was empty. And so we see that Jesus and God, they do things differently than what is our natural tendency. And so we have choices too, to be humble. We heard about this morning, it's a choice we can make. And so, in your family, in your life, there's times in the home where you can choose to be humble. You can choose to not show off. We boys and girls just sort of like to show off sometimes, don't we? We can choose that. And I think of the game that we like to play, King of the Hill. Why do we like to be at the top? Well, it's probably because we're not all that humble. Okay. Let me rise. We'll pray. Everybody stand up, please. Okay, close your eyes. Father, here are all these children with eternal souls. And Father, we're living here in this land that exalts self. And God, I pray that you will help them even now to choose to be humble, Lord, in their life. And Father, as they come to yours and be converted, Lord, that they will choose to walk humbly with you. Bless their parents. God, give them wisdom. And Father, we do thank you for Jesus and his humility. God, just help us to be more like him, Father, in our everyday life. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Okay, you may go to your seats.
Morning, children. Why are y'all looking at me so funny? I know I look a little different this morning. It's not because I'm cold that I have my jacket on. And probably most of you can see that I'm hiding something behind my coat. And most of you are wondering, what is in there? Well, you will find out shortly. And before I show you what I'm hiding here, I wonder how many of you are glad this morning that you are alive. You glad to be alive this morning? I am. You know, many of us, we get up in the morning and we take for granted the fact that we're alive. Most of us enjoy life. We love to run, to play, to go places, to do things. And we take that for granted many times. But this morning, children, there are people who die. They give their life for a cause. They give their life away to try and prove something. And even as we are speaking this morning, there are people who are making plans to end their life because they're looking for something better. And I know that many of you, your parents watch over you. They try and protect you from all of evil influence out there. But in my home, we get the newspaper. And for the last, I don't know, a year, maybe 2 years, the newspaper is filled with many different things, horrible things that people do. And one of the things that is in the newspaper is about people called suicide bombers. People who take something that looks like this and they strap it to their body. They walk into a group of people and they make it blow up. Now, if I were to do that this morning, all of you children that are sitting here in the first five benches would no longer be alive, including myself. And many others, many of your parents sitting behind you would be hurt. Why do people do that? It's because they're looking for something better. The suicide bomber, he dies, and the result of his death brings more death. That's the end. His death creates more death, and he's lost. But this morning, children, I want to focus on something else. the true Christian, the people that God wants you and I to be, the person that God wants you to be when you grow up. I have a verse up here taken from Matthew 10:39. If you can see it, say it with me this morning. Ready? He that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. You see, the suicide bomber over here, he is looking and trying to find his life. Well, the Bible says that if we look and try to find our life, we're going to lose it. And sadly to say, many others lose their life with him. But look at the second part of this verse. He that loses his life, he that is willing to die for the sake of Jesus, shall what? He shall find it. So this morning, we have a choice. Are we going to lose our life for ourselves to try and find our life? Or are we going to lose our life for Christ and find it in the end? A few weeks ago, maybe a month now or so, there was an article in the paper. In fact, it had a picture of a boy that was 12 years old. And he had been trained to be one of these suicide bombers. How many of you here this morning are 12 years old? Is anybody here? You're all younger than that? How many of you are 10 years old? Okay, there's a number of you. So think with me this morning. A 12-year-old boy putting a bomb to his body to go kill people. When I read that, I had to think of you children here this morning. The reason that those people do that is because they do not understand the truth of God's Word. They are told that if they lose their life in that way, that they will, for their reward, receive pleasure and happiness. But that's not true, children. If we seek to find our life, we're going to lose it. But if we are willing to lose our life for the sake of Jesus, we will find it. The one, the suicide bomber, gives his life to take life. But the true Christian this morning gives his life so that others can receive life. You see the difference? In John chapter 10, we have these words from Jesus. Listen to these words carefully. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. What does the thief come to do? To steal and to destroy, to kill. But listen what Jesus says. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus says the thief comes to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says that I am come to give my life so that others might have abundant life. So So this morning, children, we have a choice. Some people give their life to take other lives. But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants us to give our life to Him, to lose our life in Him, so that others could have life. There are two words that I want you to remember from this lesson. They're very similar, but yet they are very, very different. The first word here, destroy. That is what the devil wants to do. And he uses people to destroy their own lives and to destroy other lives. But Jesus can, through working within us, restore life. He can bring life to others by you and I. Some people strap bombs to their body. Okay? And we know that isn't right. They strap bombs to their bodies to destroy. But this morning, I want to encourage each of you, as you grow older, to take the Bible and, as it were, strap the Bible to you. And allow the Bible, allow the Word of God to affect your life. Allow the Word of God to guide you and direct you. How you live, what you say, the places you go, the clothes you wear, the car you drive. All those things, let it affect your life. So that by your testimony, by your love for God, you can restore life to others. And as we were sitting there this morning, I also had to think, you know, the suicide bomber, he only has one chance of doing what he sets out to do. He only has one opportunity. And he may affect a couple hundred people's lives. But you know something? We as Christians get many opportunities to be effective for God. And by one life that is sold out to God, losing our life in Christ, we may affect thousands and thousands of people by the way we live our lives. So, let's take the Word of God and allow it to affect our lives. And as we do that, the Word of God will affect the lives of others around us. Okay? You can all stand to your feet and then we'll pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for the many dear innocent children before us this morning. God, I thank you that for each one of them this morning. And I pray, Father, that You would raise them up to become mighty men and women for You, Father, to be used in Your kingdom. Father, I pray that their lives would be effective for the kingdom of God, to bring You glory and honor, so that other lives that are broken and people that are hurting might be restored to the abundant life that is in Jesus Christ. We pray for the many out there who do not know this truth and are going about in some other way. Father, we pray for them that You would have mercy upon their souls and that You too, Father, would draw them unto Yourself. Thank You for these children. We ask You, Father, to bless them, to go with them, and guide them all their days. In Jesus' name, amen.
and go back to your seats.
So you pay attention to me. I know you feel kind of like everybody's looking at you sitting up here, but we're just going to act like there's nobody here but just me and you. Nobody back here. I'd like to talk this morning about a soft heart. Okay? You all know the difference between what's hard and what's soft. Okay, this is soft. I'm going to pass this around here. You can take that, just feel it, and then just pass it back and forth up there, and you all feel how soft it is. Here, you can pass this here. Okay? That's soft. This rock is hard. Here, you want to feel how hard this rock is? Does that feel anything like that? That stuff that I passed around was soft? Is that hard or is that soft? That's hard, that's right. Is this hard or soft? That's hard, that's right. How about you boys? Excuse me. Is that rock hard or soft? That's hard. Everybody says this rock's hard. Okay, here you feel it back here. Is that hard or soft? Okay. Here comes your... So we have something hard, and we have something soft. Okay. I have some things here that I want to just give a little illustration of how to make something soft that was hard. I've got a little piece, a big piece of steel here, and a hammer. And we've got some rocks. And I have also this right here. Oops, this is called lime. And what they do, it'll make you white if you touch it. So we won't touch it. It's real soft, and it used to be a rock. Okay, it used to be a hard rock, but now they've ground it up, they made it powder. And it's real soft now. Okay? I brought along a little wash rag here to wash my hands off because I knew it would make me all white. I thought about passing it all around to you children, but I knew what you'd look like after we got done, so I decided not to. Okay. Okay, this was hard, now it's soft. Just like that thing you have right there, that little cotton ball fluff thing you have there. Those things are, that is real soft. Well, you know, it got soft because they took a hammer, in essence, they took a hammer and they broke it all up. They took and crushed this, what was one time a stone, a rock, they crushed it up real fine. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, in Jeremiah, he says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a rock, a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" It's just, I'm going to cover this rock up before I hit it, because I don't want it shattering everywhere. But the way we make something hard, we make something soft that was hard, is we hit it like that. That crushes it. Did you all see that? You can stand up there in the second row. You can look at it here if you want to. See, I hit that rock and it crushed it. And if I keep doing that, if I get it all gathered up here again in a little pile, I'm going to put it there again. And if I keep hitting it like that, it keeps crushing it. It makes it into smaller and smaller pieces. See, look there, it's turning into powder right there already. But that's what God's word, that's what God says His word is like. Okay. So we can just crush that rock. We hit it with the hammer. God's word is like this hammer that's crushing that rock. Just crushing it like that. Making it soft and making it fine. Okay. God's word, He says that my word is like this hammer. Okay. The Bible tells us that foolishness is, can you all tell me what it is? Who knows what the rest of that verse is? Foolishness is, yes, you over there. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but what? Can you tell me the rest of it? The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The rod of correction is like this hammer. It crushes that hard rock. It makes it soft. Okay. There's another one. The Bible says, withhold not correction from a child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, and that beatest, that just means to spank, with the rod he shall not die. So if the Bible says that if we don't have the rod of correction, or if we don't get spankings, we'll die. So, how many want to die here today? How many want to live? All of you want to live. Do you know what you just said? You said you wanted a spanking when you were bad. That's right. It's exactly right. That's what God's Word says. Your heart is like this rock when you're not obedient. When you're not obedient, you have a hard heart. It's not soft. It's not pliable. It's not nice. And, you know, how would you like to lay your head down on this rock right here and go to sleep at night? Would you like to do that? No, that'd be too hard. But how about if you had this soft little thing right here? Would you like to lay your head on that? That's soft. We like soft things. God likes soft things. He doesn't like hard hearts. Okay. Hard-hearted. I want you to help me with this. How many things can you think of that would indicate or that would make you think that you have a hard heart? What can you think of that would make us think you have a hard heart? I'll give you a couple examples. A hard heart would be like if you had a toy you were playing with and your brother and sister came up and they wanted to take it away from you and you just held on to it. Said, no, this is mine. I'm going to keep it. And you just pulled on it and held on to it. It's a hard heart. A hard heart is one that says, I don't want to pick up toys when Mama asks me to. I'd rather keep on playing. You give me some suggestions. What would you say would be an indication of a hard heart? Who has a thought? What would be a hard heart? Anybody have any thoughts, any suggestions? You do? What is it? Rebellion. That would be an indication of a hard heart for sure. Rebellion would be when you do not want to do and refuse to do what you know you should do. Just saying, I'm going to go my own way. I'm not going to do what Mom asked me to. How about another one? Yes, sir. What's a hard heart? Can't think of it right now. Who else has a suggestion? That's all right. Yes. Anger. Tell me what you mean by anger. What would be an example of having a hard heart and being angry? By being mean. That's right. If you're mean, you have a hard heart. And sometimes, God, through your parents, needs to take and hit the rock. Like that. To make your heart soft. It's all for a good reason, though, because you all said you wanted to live and not die. I think every one of you raised your hands here. So, sometimes we need to hit the rock with the hammer. Sometimes God needs to do that. That's good. Now, how about soft hearts? What would be a good example of soft hearts? Yes, you have. Did you think of what you wanted to say? What's a soft heart?
Kind.
Being kind, that's right. That's a good example of a soft heart. Whenever you're willing to be kind to your brothers and sisters, and you'll be kind to mother and daddy, and that's a good example of a soft heart. What's another example of a soft heart? Yes. What is it? I'm sorry. Listening. That's good. That's a very good one. Sometimes we get to playing and we really like what we're playing. And we're just really, really liking what we're doing. We're playing tractors or we're playing hide and seek or whatever we may be doing. And we don't listen. We don't listen when Mama calls. One thing you children should always be listening for. It's like Mamas and Papas are always also listening for this. They're listening for Mama or for Papa to call. Always listening for them to call. When Mama calls, you say, "Here I am." That's what you should say. You should listen, just like we Mamas and Papas do. When we live our life, we're always listening for God, our Father, to speak to us and say something to us. We listen, always listening. That's a good one. What's another example of a soft heart? Be loving. That's right. That's another good one. To be loving one to another. To be kind and to be loving. I have some things written down here too. When Papa says it's time to do chores, you do them right away. That's a good example of a soft heart. You eat all the food on your plate like you know you're supposed to. That's a good example of a soft heart because Mama and Papa ask you to eat. It means when you go out to the garden to pick beans or peas, you know, or to pull weeds in the garden, sometimes that's kind of a hard job to do because it's hot. It means you go out there and you do that very diligently and you do it as long as Mama wants you to do it. You understand what I'm saying? That's an example of a soft heart. We want soft-hearted children. We want to be soft-hearted. We want to be able to hear when God calls. We want to be kind. We want to be loving. We don't want to have anger in our heart. We want soft hearts. Another thing about soft-hearted, being soft-hearted, is this. It is being happy to do the things that you're asked to do, even though you don't want to do them. Even though you don't want to do them. It's being happy about it anyway. That's a good example of a soft heart. Jesus said, He said, "But suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Now, does the kingdom of heaven have hard-hearted children or soft-hearted children in it? What is it? All of you together. Soft-hearted children. That's right. So, do we want to be hard-hearted or soft-hearted? Soft-hearted. That's right. But sometimes we need to, and Mama and Daddy can help us do this, we need to have them take the hammer and break the hard heart like that and crush it down into little pieces so that we can be usable, so that God can use us, so that we can have a soft, pliable heart. Like that. Let's look at this rock that we crushed up here. Look how little those pieces are. We kind of made a mess here. I guess we'll have to clean it up later. We started out with a rock a little bit bigger than this. And all we have now is just some fine dust. God's Word is true when He says that His Word is like a hammer that breaks the rock. So it is when He says, the rod, another place it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. In other words, as we, as we're little children, and as we need to have our hearts softened, not hard-hearted, then sometimes we need to have the rod of correction. Okay, let's pray, children. Our Father in heaven, we come to You this morning in the name of Jesus and lift up these little children to You, Lord, that they would have soft hearts. They would not have hard hearts with those bad things we talked about in them, but that they would have soft hearts, kind and loving, willing to obey and diligent. I pray, Father, that You would help them to see the need of having a soft heart, and they would willingly receive the rod of correction wherever it's needed, so that they would not die, but that they would live. And I pray in Jesus' name, so that, Father, sometime, whenever You call to them, their soft heart would be able to receive, Lord, what You have for them to do. Whenever You call them, Lord, that their heart would be soft, and they could hear what You have to say. Keep their hearts open. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, children. You may go back to your seats. Well, amen. It's good to see all you beautiful children this morning. I just thought we'd start with a little song. How many of y'all saw some pretty flowers on the way to church today? Amen. So did I. Let's sing a little song. This is one I like. See if I can remember it. How many of y'all know who made the pretty lilies? You know that? Okay, isn't that a good one? Amen. Let's sing that this morning. I want to sing it loud. Who made the pretty lilies? God did. God did. Who made the pretty lilies? God did, we know. God made the lilies pure and white. God made the stars that shine so bright. God made this world His love and light. God did, we know. Amen. I think y'all know that better than I do. Okay, well, today we're going to talk about God's line, that God draws some lines. I'm going to read to you a scripture first. Okay. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, God gave us His law. How many of y'all have heard the Ten Commandments? Okay. And He gave some rules for us to have. And He says this after that. He says, "Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day." See, God made some lines that He wanted His people to stay within. Do you understand? He had some right things to do and some wrong things. So it's kind of like, how many of y'all have ever colored in a coloring book before? Really? Okay. Well, do you remember when you first started out? I grabbed this one this morning. And there's some interesting different levels of coloring in here. Here's one. What do you think of that? See that? Now, someone, I don't know who that is. I don't want to embarrass anybody this morning, but someone didn't stay in the lines very well, did they? Now, you know what? Daddy appreciates that nonetheless, but nevertheless, the idea was to stay in the lines there, you see. So, I didn't do it. Now, this one's a little better, isn't it? You see that little boy there? He's got his all the coloring within the lines. See that? That's a little better. And so, when we have our life like this, when we have lines that God has us to stay within, but we want to go outside of those lines, sometimes it doesn't make as much sense as staying within those lines, does it? So, but when we have God's law, when He gives us things to do, does anybody remember before the Ten Commandments, who can remember what's the first thing God told His people to do? Or I should say, maybe not to do. What was it? Anybody remember? Real early. Amen. That there was a tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden that they were not supposed to eat. So now, how did they get tricked into breaking that law? Does anybody remember? By the serpent. Let me read you that scripture. Listen to the way He worded this. This is in Genesis chapter 3. Verse 5, 4 and 5, and it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Listen to that. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So see, inside of this thing that God said that you shouldn't do, there's a hidden surprise. A hidden surprise in there. And that if you go ahead and break that law, there'll be a treat in there that'll make it all worth it. Well, what ended up happening? Was it good or bad? It was bad. Now, here's something here. Has anybody ever seen one of these before? No, that's good. Amen. Anyway, when we were children, much of your mommy and daddy were children, this was a lot more common than it is now. It took me a little time to find these things, okay? But the truth is, it doesn't really taste that good. Okay, the it's a popcorn that's covered with caramel, and the peanuts are sort of funny tasting. Okay, but we used to eat this all the time, and do you know why? Because this prize inside. Now you look, you saw that, and you said, okay, a prize inside. So you begged your mommy and daddies to go get this stuff. And you got it open. So then you said, okay, here we go. So let's open this up and see. Now, when I was a little boy, I don't know what they're in here these days. You'd get it, you'd open it up, and it'd just be a silly little thing that really wasn't worth the trouble. Let's see what they have in here these days. All right. Okay. They got them deeper now. All right. Okay. So here it is. Okay, so you went and got that popcorn. Now, it comes in this little red thing here. I don't know what this is going to be. Okay, and there's a little pencil stick picture. Now, this is the way it typically is. I mean, it's a silly little toy, and then you're stuck with a bad box of popcorn that you're supposed to eat. Let me know what this does. It's some kind of little game or something. But this is the way it is. It's always not what you expect it to be. When you open up that box of Cracker Jacks, and more importantly, when we open up something that God has told us not to do, you get there, and then think how bad Adam and Eve felt when they went ahead and did it and found out that the whole thing was a big lie. And a lot worse than a bad box of popcorn, they had the rest of their life to live in sin, and it grieved God. And so let's remember to keep the Word of God true, to stay within His colored lines, stay within those lines, and I'll guarantee you this, the promises of God will not fail you, and there'll be a wonderful feast for you in paradise in heaven, and something that you won't have to be sorry about, or you won't have to feel bad about. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh God, these tender minds, Lord, as they look to You, Father, and start to discern the right and the wrong, the sacred, the profane. Oh God, there's so many tricks Satan throws out there. Oh God, I just pray that You keep these children, oh Father. You watch after them, Lord, and keep their eyes on Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Shall we pause for a little word of prayer and before we end into the children's lesson? Let's pray. Amen. Lord, we do come to You this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that this would not be just another lesson, but Lord, I pray that it would be an inspiration to the children, Lord, to encourage them on, Lord, in their lives here while they're little and growing up, that when they're old, that they can walk with Jesus Christ. God, I pray that the reality of You would be in their lives as they grow up, Lord, that they would be conscious of You. Lord, we lift them before You this morning, God, and we pray that You would take this little lesson, Lord, and help them to find their way through life, God, even this morning. God, we trust You, Lord. We bless You, Lord, for children, God, and we pray that You would, Lord, be in this little service right here now in this time of the service this morning. We trust You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I have a little lesson for you too. I like to talk about spots in our lives like Kenny did this morning, hoping that when we're through this that you might be able to be encouraged and to be able to walk throughout this life, that when you're old and that when you're that you can walk with God and have Jesus Christ be real in your life. I'd like to talk about a verse in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 5. I shared this at home with our family, and I thought maybe I could do it here this morning. That's the verse. It says, "Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them." So I like to talk about this word right here. Does anybody know what that word means? I looked it up in the different versions, and it says what it really means is it means stubborn and self-willed. That's what it means. The Amplified Bible says that it says thorns and snares are thorns. Thorns and snares are in the way of the obstinate and willful. He who guards himself shall be far from them. So I was meditating upon that verse even for my own life, and I thought about my children, and it says that there are going to be thorns and snares in our lives. It don't just say a thorn or a snare. It says thorns and snares. So it means there's going to be a bunch in our life if we are going to be stubborn or self-willed. So I wonder if there's any children like that here this morning. Probably not. Is there anyone that way? I know that our children sometimes get that way. We tell them maybe to do something, and they are maybe busy doing something. They say that they don't want to do it. And so we don't want our children to be self-willed. We want to take care of that. So I want to encourage you this morning that if your mom and dad or whoever tell you to do something, that you'd be willing and you do it joyfully, because it says that thorns and snares are going to be in your way if you don't obey, and you're going to go your own way. I remember when I was a little boy, probably about 5 or 6, my dad told me, I grew up on a farm, so I used to run along the side of the tractor. I liked to be with tractors. I was only a little boy, and I used to run out along with the tractors. And my dad told me many times that I shouldn't do that, because next something would happen to me. Well, I didn't listen. I was stubborn, I guess, or self-willed, because I kept on doing it. And one day I was out in the field with my brother. My brother was driving the tractor, and I was running behind. He had a disc that he pulled behind the tractor to till up the ground, to plant corn or whatever. And he had a disc that he was pulling along the tractor, and I had a hold of the disc. I was running behind with the disc, and my dad had told me not to do that. And I want to share this little thing here with you, because it says that we don't obey, it's going to be thorns and snares, and that means there are things that might happen with us that we wouldn't want them to happen if we don't obey. So I was running behind this disc and running along with the tractor, and I had a hold of the disc. I was running behind. And here, my brother didn't see this happen, but the disc went over there was a big stone out in the field, and the disc went over the stone, and when I had a hold of it, the disc jumped up to go to the stone, and I had a hold of it. It went and threw me up over the disc, and I landed underneath the disc. And the disc dragged me along for a while, and after a while, the disc went over me. And it's good that it didn't hit my head, or it probably would have killed me, but I could even show you, it's still here, it's a scar. Maybe some of you can't see, but right there is a big, big scar that happened. I know it's hard, maybe a little bit hard for some of you to see, but I only had a little arm, and it almost cut my arm off. And there's still a big scar there. And that's what happens when we don't obey. There's going to be thorns and snares in our lives when we don't obey. And sometimes those thorns and snares are maybe a spanking or something when we don't obey. We make our lives very hard when we don't obey, because things happen. I remember another little story. It happened at home. We're just a couple of miles from our house. There were these two little boys. They were up in their barn playing in the straw. And they had their dad had told them not to play in the barn. They made a tunnel out of the straw that made a tunnel, and they were going through the tunnel, and they decided that it was dark in there, so they decided they're gonna get a candle. And they're going to light this candle, and they're going to have some light in there. And their dad had told him not to do that or play with fire. And they didn't listen, and they went anyway, and they got this candle, and they went into the straw in the tunnel, and they lit this candle. And you know what happened? That after a while, that straw started burning, and the whole barn burned down because those boys didn't listen. They went their own way. So let's be careful that we listen when our parents tell us something, because those little boys went through a rough time there, because here they didn't listen to their parents, and they had thorns. I want to tell you, does anybody know what thorns are? I brought one along. These are thorns. I went out, we live back in the woods, and there's a lot of these out in the woods, and when you walk through the woods, these things, I'm not sure, some of you can't see them, but underneath there's the sharp little things, you see them? They hurt. I put some tape on the end here so I could hold it, because it's sharp. So we want to be sure. When I had this lesson at home, my wife was with me. We were in the living room, and I told her to go do something, and she didn't. She didn't listen to me, and she went and ran in these thorns, and it scratched her up, because she was trying to demonstrate to her children, and she did that. And you know what? If we ladies there, you know, we get stubborn or self-willed, You know, and we go our own way. It says that thorns and snares are in our way in front of us. I also have a little snare here in my pocket. Does anybody know what this is? It's a mouse trap, right? Well, you know, when you set these here, when you put these down, you know, they're to catch mouse in our house. Maybe they're in our house, and we don't like to have them in our house because they eat some of our food and stuff. Well, you know, when you set one of these traps for a mouse, they don't realize that it's a trap for them. You put some good cheese or something on there, and the mouse come along, and they think they're gonna get a good meal, and you know what? They get trapped. And you know, that's what happens with us. You know, sometimes when we don't obey, we don't realize that there's gonna be a snare there, because a snare is something that, you know, the devil lays up a lot of snares for us at times. You know, we think we're going the right way, and we don't realize that there's going to be a snare there, and we walk in them, and then we're caught. So, and a lot of that happens because we're not obedient. You know, if we walk with God, we listen to God, listen to His Spirit, we can walk through this life and not walk in those snares. But when we go against God's will and against our own authorities, and we walk our own way, then we walk in these snares and get caught, and then then it's just a long ways to get back on the right path. So it says, the verse here again, it says, thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that keep his soul shall be far from them. And you know, when you obey and you walk with God, and you listen to God, and you listen to your parents, it says these thorns and snares are going to be far away from you. You'll never have to walk in them. You'll never get caught by them. And you're going to have a victorious life, like we heard this morning. You know, those spots and those disobedient times are going to be far from us because we're obedient. And we're faithful to listen to our parents, or whoever we're listening to. There's another verse here. It says, "A prudent man foresees the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." So let's be prudent children, because we're all going to grow up someday, and if we can learn this in our young age to be obedient and listen, we don't have to learn that when we're older. And it's easier to listen when we're younger than when we're older. So. When your parents tell you to do something, don't be self-willed or stubborn, but be willing to obey, and then these thorns and these snares won't be in your path, but you'll be far from them. So that's the lesson I had for you this morning, that we will be able to be willing and obedient, that these thorns and snares won't be in our way, because when we disobey, then things happen like what I shared when I didn't obey to my dad. You know, I went my own way, and then I got hurt and all that. So let's be obedient children, that we can walk without spot and bring in this life. Shall we close with a word of prayer? Let's pray. Amen. Lord, I do pray that you would take this little lesson, Lord, and help the children to be obedient, Lord, that these thorns and snares would not be in their way, and they wouldn't have to go the hard way, but Lord, that they would be able to be obedient and listen to your voice and be able to walk in this life until this life is over, Lord. We trust in them. To you, God, we pray that you would help them on. Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your parents.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902. Or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.